A reading from the prophet Isaiah. First, the Lord degraded the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the end, he has glorified the seaward road, the land west of the Jordan, the district of the Gentiles. Anguish has taken wing, dispelled is darkness, for there is no gloom where but now there was distress. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Upon those who dwelt in a land of gloom, a light has shone. You have brought them abundant joy and great rejoicing, as they rejoice before you as at the harvest, as men make merry when dividing the spoils. For the yoke that burdened them, the pole on their shoulder, and the rod of their taskmaster, you have smashed as on the day of Midian. The word of the Lord. Jesus has just recently defeated the devil in the desert and is returning to civilization to begin his public ministry. He goes first to Nazareth, his hometown where he grew up. Perhaps he wants to gather some belongings he will need and to tell his mother of his future plans. The Lord degraded the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the end he has glorified the seaward road, the land west of the Jordan, the district of the Gentiles. Nazareth, a little town in the tribe of Zebulun, and Capernaum on the far western border of Naphtali. Capernaum was probably one of those cities which the Jews built after their return from Babylon. It was to be called Jesus' town, and here, as a citizen, we hear about him paying the half shekel. Among the Jews, if a man became a resident in any town for 12 months, he was thereby considered a citizen, and he paid his proportion of dues and taxes. Capernaum is also well known to have been the principal scene of our Lord's miracles during the 3 years of his public ministry. Another reason for leaving Nazareth is the people's lack of faith in him. Our Lord utterly forsook Nazareth because not only had they wholly rejected his word, but they even attempted to take his life. So, Jesus moves on to Capernaum, which is actually a better location for preaching and reaching out to people. Capernaum was a port city on the northern coast of Lake Genezareth, or Lake Galilee, as we call it. It was on a trade route, so there were people from many nations, including Egyptians, Arabians, Phoenicians. They all passed through that area. There were so many non-Jews that Matthew quotes this prophet Isaiah in our gospel, calling the area the Galilee of the Gentiles. And it was even a tradition among some ancient Jews that the Messiah would begin his ministry in Galilee. So in our first reading from Isaiah today, we have the actual text from which Matthew does not exactly quote, but he gives us the meaning. And the prophecy ends on a positive note. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. God has brought them abundant joy. For the yoke that burdened them, you have smashed as on the day of Midian. Well, when I first read this passage, I was struck by the day of Midian. What is the day of Midian? Well, Midian was a great and powerful nation southeast of the land of Israel. And for many years, it had periodically plundered and raided the Jewish people. This was the moment for which Gideon was made a judge to protect and defend God's people. Gideon raised an army of 10,000 warriors, but God thought that was too many and sent all but 300 home. And besides that, he did not even allow those left to use any weapons. The Israelites would defeat their enemy with only horns, empty clay jars, and torches. God did not need 10,000 soldiers to destroy Midian. He didn't even need 300. They were only an example of how much their faith enabled God to act through them to overcome the danger. And the same holds true for each of us. In the many battles and struggles of life, often all we can really do is pray to God for his help. Pray for guidance and strength. Guidance to know God's will, and strength to do it and to carry it out to the very end. Nothing of this world is secure and lasting. We know that in little things, but it's true even in the big things. No nation, no continent, not even the mighty stars, as we have witnessed in the last weeks by the amazing photograph of an exploding star, nothing in the universe is lasting. Only God and what he wills is lasting. One of the things that God wills to last forever is us, our immortal souls, and eventually reunited to our glorified bodies. So what are we doing to make ourselves ready for eternity? For we will have an eternity of bliss or barrenness, an eternity of happiness or unhappiness. Each of our daily choices enters into the mix that will produce our eternity. May our sins and tendencies toward evil be smashed as on the day of Midian.